Peace to you on this celebration of our nation's thanksgiving to God. I'm sure everybody knows about the story of Thanksgiving at Plymouth Rock, and maybe you've read about William Bradford's report about how they survived that first year and then celebrated that survival in the fall with a great feast and banquet, even with the nearby Native Americans. But I don't think most people know that really the first Thanksgiving in America, or at least in North America, took place 11 years previously, not in Massachusetts, but down in Virginia at Jamestown, because the settlers came, and in the winter of 1610 there, it was so bad that out of 409 original settlers at Jamestown, by the end of the year, only 60 were left alive. Think about the disease, the starvation and death that must have overtook those people and how horrid that must have been. They prayed and they prayed and they prayed for help. And finally, the Lord did answer their prayer in the form of a supply ship that came. And so when it came, they had a prayer meeting. Now, after so much starvation, disease, and misery, and the death of all those people, you might think they might not feel very grateful having gone through that. But the opposite was the truth. There was much thankfulness. You know, in our day and age, it seems that we have this uncanny ability to forget all of the blessings that we have and think about only the troubles that we can have. I mean, God blesses somebody with 50 wonderful gifts. And what do they think about? What's on their mind? That one problem. They focus on one negative thing. And why is that? Well, the answer's easy, isn't it? It's what we come here and hear at church all the time. Whenever we open the scriptures, we see it. The answer why we focus on the negative is because we're sinners. That's what we do. We're very good at it. We are ungrateful, miserable sinners. Now, I could spend the next 10 minutes telling you all about that, but I don't think that would make you grateful, would it? What does have the power to make us grateful? Well, the good news. The news that despite our broken, sinful condition, there is forgiveness in Christ. And it doesn't depend on our response. Rather, his forgiveness flows from his limitless, endless supply of love for his people. Counting our blessings, thinking about the things that God provides for us and how he loves us can make us grateful. And with help from David's words in Psalm 103, which we've just read and sung, by the way, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name," we have an opportunity tonight to focus on God's goodness, and that has the power to make us truly grateful. To begin with, I would like you to think about one thing. What is your greatest blessing from God? Think about that. What is it? You consider it to be a spouse, or a child, or your family who might be here with you tonight, or maybe that one of those several college students who are home, and we're so good to see you. I bet your parents are glad to see you again. Or is it the friends that you have? Or maybe your job, your employment? Whatever it is, what is your greatest blessing? Do you know what was at the top of David's list of blessings? None of these things. It was forgiveness. And it can be at the top of ours too, because the more we are aware of our sins and brokenness, the more God's forgiveness will mean to us. Now, for instance, think of David in his life. Think of his sins that we know about. Think of that one time when he fell away from God in such a public way that everybody knew. You remember that he was in an adulterous affair with another man's wife that he was supposed to lead as her king. and yet he took advantage of her. And then what that led to, he had to murder his friend, and one of his soldiers, her husband Uriah, plotted his murder. As you read the Psalms of David, you see him wasting away beneath this guilt and this remorse over his sin. His bones wasting away, guilt crushing him, nearly destroying him. As we grow in faith, we recognize this incredible gift of Jesus and his forgiveness. Relationships will come and go with us, but God is with us forever. Like David, lying there awake on his bed at night, thinking about his missed opportunities to glorify God, his sins. Sometimes those things run through our minds. We think about that, and we think about how death becomes real to us, maybe through the loss of a loved one, or when death comes and threatens us. Our guilt saps our strength at those moments when we think about the end of our life, and we are filled with fear. It's at those moments, my friends, when we think about those things, that forgiveness is worth more to us, being forgiven by God, than all the gold in the world and all the possessions and relationships we can have. God's forgiveness is the most precious thing. And God's forgiveness is real. Listen to David in Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love toward us and to those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. David continues to count his blessings. He says, the Lord heals all your diseases. Now, is that true? We have a lot of prayers here Sunday after Sunday, week after week, for a lot of people who are ill or sick. Sometimes it seems that their healing never comes. How can he say, God heals all your diseases? We have to recognize that healing comes in many ways. You know, this church has around 1,200 members, and there are some days when nobody's in the hospital. That's a happy day for pastors, isn't it? When nobody's in the hospital, we don't have to go down to the hospital and make calls, which we're glad to do, but it's kind of nice to have a break. You know, that's a good thing. Healing is sometimes given in just the gift of health, where you're healthy. And isn't it wonderful that when we are sick, our bodies usually are blessed with the ability to heal and recover? How many of you have had an illness over the past year or surgeries this past year, and yet here you are now? Or maybe a loved one's gone through this. There's several people we prayed for this year who were seriously ill with cancer, and now they've been declared cancer-free. Praise the Lord for that. God uses the medical professionals' wisdom, skill, and knowledge that he gives to people who work in the healing arts. And when we pray to guide a surgeon's hands, those words are not just empty, but God hears those many times and grants our request in the way that we ask it. Now, if you have a disease for which there is no cure, there really is a cure. Your cure is in death. Death will heal once and for all. Disease comes from a world that's broken in sin. The body does not live and continue as God created it, but it has these disorders. David in a psalm connects sin and healing. In heaven, there is no sickness. The blind see, the lame walk, and the deaf hear. So you see, our timetable in healing is oftentimes different than God's timetable. For in Christ, for those who have faith, saving faith in him, all healing will come one day or another. But I want you to think about how God healed you in this past year, or maybe helped you bear an illness, or maybe a loved one, by taking them to heaven. Thank you, Lord, for your hand of healing in our time of need. He redeems our life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Forgiveness is our greatest gift from God, but there are many other blessings too. When Jesus redeemed our lives from the pit, he also surrounds us with love and compassion. We are God's family. That means that we can go to him at any time. He's always ready to hear us. He listens. He answers our prayers in his own way, in his own time, but he answers. He cares for us as a loving father would care for his beloved children, for his family. That's why David writes, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Think about the peace that you can have that comes to you when you do go to God in prayer with your concerns and your requests. You may think that nobody else knows, nobody else understands what you're going through. You can't talk to anybody about this, whatever it is. You know about the sadness and the loneliness that can come with having a problem or a crisis. You know about what temptation is and how it eats at you and tries to get you to fall in where there's no recovery. Think about that peace of going to God in prayer with that. He knows all. Verse 14 of our psalm says, he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. We came out of the dust. To the dust we'll return. He knows how weak we can be. But he promises to hear us and bless us with those things that will truly be our help. There are other promises, but I think one of the most powerful that I know is that whatever you face in life, you are never really alone if you are a Christian, because the Lord is with you. Our trials are then turned into blessings. Think about a family, this congregation, in a car accident. Mother and father and two daughters, adult children, all injured. And yet I talked to Susan, and she says again and again, she says, I didn't know where my life was going, what I'd be doing, but I know to be here up near Chicago with her father as he's rehabilitating the hospital. She says, I'm here to care for his needs, but also to pray and witness for all these other people that I meet here in the hospital. A trial turned into a blessing. Think of how God has displayed his love for you this past year. How did he touch you? Was it through a sermon? Was it through a Bible study? Was it as you were reading scripture by yourself or with your family? Was it when you came to the Lord's Supper and he gave you his body and blood once again for the forgiveness of sins? Was it through your friends and their kind words and helpful guidance to you? In a moment of tragedy, did the Lord work a miracle for you this past year? Did he send a counselor or someone with guidance and help for you? Thank the Lord for that goodness that he has shown you. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. Thank you, Lord, for the countless ways that your love and compassion are displayed in our lives. He satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Finally, David reminds us that God's goodness goes way beyond just giving us what we need. He fills our lives with joys and pleasures. Has God given you a job that you enjoy, something you like to do, and then he also provides means for you through that paycheck each week for that? What a blessing that is. Has he given you an invigorating challenge in your life to meet that you put all your energy in and you feel great when you accomplish that? Does the tasks he give fill your life with meaning? What a blessing there is in this as he fills us with good things and renews our strength. On the other hand, are there people in your life, family, friends, who care about you, who share your thoughts, and you can tell them your dreams and they can share that with you? People you can count on to be there for you? People who will go that extra step and they will speak the truth to you in love, you know, correct you when you need that, forgive and accept you despite all the bad things that you do day in and day out to them. People like that that God puts there for you, what a blessing that is that he supplies. Do you have more than just a roof over your head, but a place to live that you call home? A change of clothes and a scrap of food each day? Time to play with your kids? Time to watch a football game? To go to a movie? Surf the net? Nice things in your house? A yard to play in? And maybe more than one car in the driveway? I say, congratulations! Because you are wealthier than more than 90% of the people on this planet if you have these things. Why is God so good to us? Think about all the blessings that God has poured into your life this past year. I don't know when David wrote this psalm, but if you read the Bible about his life, you know that it wasn't all a king's life. He ran from King Saul for probably years, living in caves, far from his family, his friend, his tribesmen, and definitely far from the comforts of home. But knowing what we know about David, I can picture him writing this psalm out there in the wilderness, running in the middle of his troubles. That's the attitude of faith that knows how to hold on to God's promises and doesn't give in no matter what the situation, but always knows that God is blessing you no matter what it seems like around you. And I pray that all of us, myself included, but all of you too, that we can always remember to count our many blessings so we can say with David today and every day, Lord, thanks for everything. Thanks for all you do for us. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Amen. And the peace of Christ will keep your hearts to life everlasting.